Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. Friday 25th of June marked World Refugee Day. For the occasion, the Jesuit Refugee Service issued a statement which highlighted, in particular, how the rise in food shortages further imperil vulnerable populations. This Catholic organization works in over 50 countries in 6 continents around the world, doing its best to meet the needs of 500,000 refugees and displaced persons, more than half of whom are women. In an effort to find out more about this year's message, my colleague Kelsey Brennan-Wessels interviewed the communications director of this organization, James Stapleton. Let's listen.
The significance of World Refugee Day is just as an opportunity for organizations who work with refugees to call people's attention to the fact that there are over 40 million people who are forcibly displaced around the world. There's so many needs and so many difficulties when you work with refugees. It's difficult to know what to focus on, but one of the things that's deeply concerning us, as it's concerning people who work with marginalized groups around the world, is the increasing price of food and the effect that that is having and could have in the future on refugee populations. Not just in terms of people who are already displaced, but also in terms of creating instability which could lead to future displacement.
What's being done about this?
At the moment, the World Food Programme is trying to cope with the situation that food prices have increased by over 80% in the last number of years. And what the Jesuit Refugee Service is trying to point out and say, hold on a second, we know there are 100 million extra people in the world who could be affected by this. Please don't overlook what's happening with displaced populations. At the moment, one of our programmes that deals with emergency arrivals in Kampala, in Uganda, in Eastern Africa, is having extreme difficulties now trying to meet those needs, particularly for large families, people who have come into the country, who have been recognised as refugees, or who it's quite clear will be recognised as refugees. We're saying they've been persecuted or would face persecution if they go home. And we're saying that the protection that the international community, that the Ugandan government and the international community needs to provide has to be real. It's not just a case of you can stay in Uganda. If you don't have food, then what can you do? A similar situation where we don't provide food in Thailand, whereby we work with people in camps, they have no freedom of movement. We provide education services, we have training services. We provide projects where people can grow food for themselves, but the increase in inputs into producing food is also a serious concern about the increase in petrol prices. And we're saying, hold on a second, it's not just affecting the Western world, it's not just affecting the poor people in the world, it's also affecting people who are legally prevented from leaving refugee camps. And we're saying, can we have a little bit of flexibility with this? Can we allow these people to move outside the camps and to work in the local economies and to assist the local economies as well? Because what we really need to do is we need to create a situation whereby the world food production goes up, and where there are refugees who are dependent on handouts or where the amount of food that they can cultivate is very limited, it also has an effect on the local economies. And I think the last case that we'd like to point out today is a case particularly worrying for us. It's a case of children being affected by the problems related to food. Because of the insecurity in Chad and because of the increased costs in delivering food, there was a program set up to provide school meals for children to encourage them to go to school so they can have a future, so this sort of cycle of violence and persecution and poverty is broken. And we're seeing that this food is not arriving quite often, and we're very, very concerned about that because it's really impeding our capacity to provide education services. We're trying to train teachers, we're trying to encourage people to go to schools, and then we're seeing families saying, well, our children need to go out and look for food. So we're just trying to say, please hold on a second, have a look at this, stop for a moment and see what we can do. And when we go to look for solutions, don't forget those people who have been already forced out of their own countries because of persecution. Please think about these things, because it's not just in their interest, but it's also in our interest, because we don't want further instability created in already unstable regions.
Now, what sort of solutions are you examining to help the situation?
Well, what we're talking about is, one, world governments are talking about increasing food aid. What we're saying is, can we please ring-fence refugee situations to make sure that refugee populations are not excluded from food aid? What we're also saying is to big food donor countries like the United States of America, which traditionally has given large amounts of assistance in terms of food, what we're saying is, maybe providing the food is not what you should do. Maybe providing the money so the food can be regionally sourced. What happens quite often is food is brought in from the US and regional markets are devastated because food has a price in that level. Okay, it's gone up and we want to control that increase. But by bringing massive amounts of food into the area, putting farmers out of business, when the initial food crisis passes, we're finding that these farmers are no longer able to provide food. They've migrated, they've moved on to other things. So we're saying is think of long-term solutions which will increase world food production. We're also asking states maybe to look at the amount of land that's been dedicated to biofuels. We estimate that about 5% now of land is being dedicated to biofuels, which is having quite a significant impact on the world food production. So, if you like, three things. First one is to ring-face refugee situations and also allow refugees to become self-sufficient, produce food for themselves, access labour markets. The second one is please consider donating financial resources and not food, which can have damaging effects on local and regional markets. And lastly, look at long-term solutions for increasing world food production, because you mean the deviating resources towards biofuels may have some minimal effect on the cost of fuels around the world, but it could have some devastating effects on stability in certain regions in the world.
That was my colleague, Kelsey Brennan-Wessels, interviewing the communications director of the Jesuit Refugee Service, James Stapleton. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Skiersbrick.